Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. This is God's Word. Again, he began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat on the sea and sat down, while the whole crowd was by the sea on the shore. He taught them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it didn't produce fruit. Still other seed fell on good ground, and it grew up, producing fruit that increased 30, 60, and 100 times." Then he said, "Let anyone who has ears to hear listen." When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. He answered them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those outside, everything comes in parables, so that they may indeed look and yet not perceive. They may indeed listen and yet not understand. Otherwise, they might turn back and be forgiven." Then he said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand all of the parables? The sower sows the word. Some are like the word sown on the path. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. And others are like seed sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, but they have no root. They are short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. Others are like seed sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those like seed sown on good ground hear the word, welcome it, and produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. He also said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed? Isn't it to be put on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, and nothing concealed that will not be brought to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him listen." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. By the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and more will be added to you. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." The kingdom of God is like this, he said. A man scatters seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, although he doesn't know how. The soil produces a crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the full grain on the head. As soon as the crop is ready, He sends for the sickle because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed that when sown upon the soil is the smallest of all the seeds on the ground. And when sown, it comes up and grows taller than all the garden plants and produces large branches so that the birds of the sky can nest in its shade. He was speaking the word to them with many parables like these, as they were able to understand. He did not speak to them without a parable. Privately, however, he explained everything to his own disciples. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Years ago, I was invited to attend the premiere, sort of the test launch of a course that would be used in churches and ministries all around the country. I will let the author of that material and the name of the course remain in obscurity at this point. But let's just say they did real well with it. They were very good at marketing, and I'm sure there were things in it that were helpful for people. But the fellow who had designed the course and who was making the pitch and so forth, his first point that he wanted to get across is this. If you're a teacher, you haven't taught until the learner has learned. Okay? And he really went to great lengths in order to sell that and seemed to get pretty unanimous agreement from the group. Now, the goal of establishing that premise was so that then you could teach teachers how to connect better with their listeners and how to help people learn. That's a worthy goal. But I was asked by the vice president of the organization during the first break, so what'd you think? And I said, well, I have some concerns. I said, who is the greatest teacher who ever lived? And he said, well, Jesus, of course. And I said, and what was Jesus' point in using parables? And how well did the people he spoke to learn and understand what he was saying? He said, good point. Now, they didn't change the material. It was already packaged, and most people thought it was tremendous. So I'm just one of those picky individuals who, you know, notices things like that. But the reason is I read this book a lot, okay? And Jesus used parables all the time. And tons of people thought, wow, that was a neat story, and didn't get the point. And Jesus says to them over and over in this passage, be careful how you listen, okay? Let anyone who has ears to hear, listen. Listen, he says. And then he talks about the fact that, he says in verse 24, pay attention to what you hear. By the measure you use, it'll be measured to you, and more will be added to you. For whoever has, more will be given to him. And whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. If you will make the most of what you do understand, in other words, put it into practice, God will show you more. But if you are disobedient to what God has revealed, you won't even be able to hold on to what you once knew. And I cannot count the vast number of people I've known over the years who started out orthodox in their beliefs, but not living it. They could recite it, they could tell others, but they didn't put it into practice in their own life. And as a result, down the road, I see those same people, they no longer believe what they used to say they believed. They've lost it. And a lot of times they don't even understand it. Jesus says, be careful how you listen. But the whole question of why he would use parables to begin with. I mean, what's the deal there? Why that method of teaching? Look at what Jesus says. It's hard for us to hear this. But listen. Listen to what Jesus says. Verse 12. Everything comes in parables so that they may indeed look and yet not perceive. They may indeed listen and yet not understand. Otherwise, they might turn back and be forgiven. What? That sounds like you're saying that you're deliberately presenting it in a way that many people will not understand, because if they did understand, they'd repent. I thought we were here to call these people to repentance. Doesn't God treat everyone the same? Well, not in this passage he doesn't. In fact, it says in this passage, the secret of the kingdom, Jesus answered, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those outside, everything comes in parables. Well, so you're not treating everybody the same? No, not. Verse 33 and following, he was speaking the word to them with many parables like these, and as they were able to understand. He did not speak to them without a parable. Privately, however, he explained everything to his own disciples. I just don't get that. I thought this is America, and everyone is supposed to be treated the same. Well, this isn't America. This is the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, let me tell you, if we get what we deserve, I want what I deserve. If you get what you deserve, you go to hell. Well, I don't want that. Okay, well, so are you saying you would like perhaps mercy? Perhaps grace? Yes, that sounds much better than hell. Okay? Well, if you want mercy and you want grace, let me tell you one thing you're not going to get to do, and that's call the shots. Jesus says, I'm deliberately using parables lest they understand and turn. Where would he get an idea like that? Well, he only said what the Father told him to say, but he was actually quoting Scripture. When Jesus said, this is the reason I use parables, he was quoting from Isaiah chapter 6. This is God's plan. God ordained the parables so that the people would hear and not understand. And Jesus would eventually be rejected and crucified. Now, it might seem unthinkable to us that someone could come to earth and do the kinds of things that Jesus did, working miracles, I mean amazing miracles. As we go through Mark's gospel, we're going to read about all kinds of miracles that Jesus did. And it's just hard for us to imagine that someone could come and do all of that and never hurt anybody. So why would he be rejected? The reason he was rejected is because he looked like God. Pure, holy, righteous. And you know what our response to that is in our natural state? Hatred, because it makes us look bad. In this life, I want to be with people who make me look good, not people who make me look bad. The human heart in its natural state is hostile toward God. Go all the way back to the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, and then they heard the sound of God walking in the garden. They ran. They wanted to get away from him. They didn't say, oh, here's God. We need to go and apologize for disobeying him. Uh-uh. They're hiding. And so here, when Jesus says, they may indeed look and yet not perceive. They may indeed listen and yet not understand. Otherwise, they might turn back and be forgiven. The reason he says that is because that's exactly what he means. The purpose of the parables was in part to be not understood. Now, folks, that just goes against almost everything we know about how to teach and how to lead and how to reach people and all that. Jesus is quoting Isaiah, the holy word of God, is quoting the holy word of God. And what he's saying is that God's intention for some is that they not understand. That's what it says. That's what it says. I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. That seems to me that God is supposed to treat everybody the same, and then it's just up to us. Okay? It's up to us. I mean, otherwise it wouldn't be fair. You want fair? No, I forgot. Okay? You don't want fair. But God, who doesn't owe anybody on the planet anything, has graciously chosen to display his glory in a way that benefits the redeemed. And we should have nothing but eternal thanks and adoration for him. But the fact of the matter is, try and get this, everybody everywhere has sinned. Got that part? Everybody everywhere, therefore, deserves hell. If God chooses to save this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, that's not unfair. That is merciful. That is gracious. That is amazing. If you have come to the realization that you are a sinner and you deserve God's wrath and you need his mercy, and you're crying out to him, let me just tell you something. You don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to be saved. He promises to save. Those who call upon him will be saved. Well, but what if I'm not one of the elect? Then you're not worried about it. Okay? You wouldn't be saying that if God hadn't chosen you. But don't think when you get saved that it's because, you know, well, I was in a family of 9 people and I was the only one who got saved. I guess I've always been kind of the smartest. You know, I'm not sure you really are saved. What are you trusting in? Your intelligence, your wit, your wisdom? Is that what you think is going to get you into the kingdom of heaven? Because you heard a message and you were able to process it intellectually and you said, yeah, I want that. Sign me up. Instead of, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you're wanting him to give you life because you know you can't get it on your own, that is evidence that God has given you new birth. And you need to be thanking him and praising him and seeking to show your thanks by the way you live.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, when Jesus says this, about the parables, about his reason for teaching in parables, and about the fact that there are some people who are going to get it and some people who don't. The passage starts out with a story about different responses to the Word of God. And the first response is no response at all. Some people don't listen. The Word makes no dent. It just hits, and Satan takes it, and they are none the better. But there are others who are like the rocky soil, and when the seed lands there, they receive it with joy. This is wonderful. That was a funny story. I liked that. But there are some people, and they receive it, but it's a shallow reception. It doesn't go deep. Okay? They're like rocky soil. There's no root. And when the sun comes out, and let me tell you something, folks, the sun will come out. When the sun comes out and there's opposition, persecution, they go back to talk to somebody in the family about what they're learning, and the family says, oh, that's a bunch of nonsense. And it's like, oh, okay. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of people who are like rocky ground. Quick enthusiasm, no endurance. But then there are others where it takes root and it grows, but it's got lots of competition. This is soil that is not weeded. It is thorny ground. Not rocky ground, but thorny ground. There are people who really do believe it's true. They are convinced, but they don't bear fruit. Why? Jesus said that they're worried about the stuff of this life. That's where their focus is. They're not thinking about eternity. They're worried about how am I going to do this and what should I do about that and am I going to be able to get this? And the deceitfulness of wealth and a desire for other things, that prevents them from being fruitful. I cannot count the number of people who I believe, sincerely believe it's true, but they're not sold out to Jesus. If you are saved, nothing else can compete. Nothing else matters. It's not Jesus is one of the most important things in my life. But the Apostle Paul didn't say Jesus is one of the most important things in my life. In fact, the Apostle Paul did not say Jesus is the most important thing in my life. The Apostle Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is my life. He is my life. Nothing else matters. We talked last time about Jesus not going outdoors to talk with his family when they'd traveled a great distance to see him, because his relationship with the Father superseded his relationship with his biological mother and his siblings. It's not to say that we despise our earthly families. It is to say there's no competition. There's an old evangelistic tract that's helped many people find faith. It's called The Four Spiritual Laws, and law number one is God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. But you see, I have found not only does God love me and have a wonderful plan for my life, but there are a whole bunch of other people who may also love me, or maybe not, but they've also got a wonderful plan for my life. They want me to do this. 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 I can't do all that. And I would go nuts if I felt like I've got to be trying to do all the things that people want me to do in order to make them happy. Can't do it. Cannot do it. So how do I maintain a semblance of sanity in a busy life? All I have to do today is whatever God tells me. That's it.
So, Pastor Wood, do you believe that God talks out loud to everybody?
No, goodness. Generally, he doesn't talk out loud to me. But God has given me his word. And so I can go to the scriptures and see what God says about what he wants me to be doing and then do that. Yeah, but what if he wants you to do something else? He'll figure out a way to tell me. You don't have to, what if I miss it? You won't. You won't. The problem that we have is not that we don't know what God wants us to do. The problem is we don't do it. And so I implore you, I plead with you, be careful how you listen. And that doesn't just mean so that you'll hear, it's so that you'll put it into practice. Go back and reread Matthew chapter 7. You want to build your house on the rock. You put into practice what you've heard.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.